Hi everyone, welcome back to English Digest. I'm Pat.
I'm Stephanie.
And we're on day two of our literature article for this month, The Glass Castle, A Tale of Resilience and Triumph, which is the story of The Glass Castle, a memoir, which is the kind of storified memories of a journalist, a successful journalist called Jeanette Walls. And she's turned her very unusual, unconventional childhood, where they moved around, her and her parents. They were dreamers and they wanted them to not fit into the sort of system of getting jobs and buying houses. They wanted them to be a free-spirited group who moved around and built and chased their dreams.
This is a really popular book, too. When it was published in 2005, I was looking it up how long it had been on the New York Times bestseller list. It went over 400 weeks.
Wow.
So she did very well. It's been translated into 31 languages.
Mm.
I think because a lot of kids in other countries, unfortunately, probably can understand
they can relate.
Her childhood a little bit better than a lot of people who, you know, have never had to struggle. So, but it's something that it resonates or just hits something within you as you read it. She's just got a lot of fans because of this book. She went on to write some more books of fiction, but this has been her triumph, you could say. We're going to continue talking about her fascinating family, especially her parents and what she went through. But first, we're going to listen to our article read out loud. As Jeanette grew older, she became acutely aware of her family's challenging lifestyle. Although Rex's dreams were fascinating, their disconnection from reality became increasingly apparent. Living in extreme poverty, Jeanette and her siblings learned to fend for themselves. They scavenged for food, stole from farms, and even searched inside dumpsters to survive. The previously adventurous nomadic life became burdensome, and the constant battle for basic necessities became unbearable. These problems compelled the family to seek a new beginning in Rex's hometown, a poor mining community. In the town's poorest area, Rex purchased a small, poorly constructed house with just 3 rooms, no basic plumbing, and a leaking roof. Soon after settling in, he chose a nearby site to build the glass castle. Still interested in the castle, Jeanette and her younger brother Brian started digging its foundation. However, one day, unable to pay for waste removal, Rex told the children to dispose of their garbage in this large pit. Over time, the glass castle became a silent, unrealized dream. Despite this disappointment, a new hope arose as the family's final settlement in Rex's hometown enabled Jeanette and her siblings to consistently attend school. As editor of the school newspaper, Jeanette was exposed to diverse articles and news topics, which helped her develop views independent of her parents' biased ideologies. When she entered her teens, Jeanette saw staying with her parents as an obstacle to her future. She realized that all of her father's promises would remain a fantasy. Determined to pursue their own lives, she and her siblings decided to leave. They moved to New York one by one, leaving behind the never-to-be-completed glass castle.
So the story continues as Jeanette starts to grow up from this childhood where she, more than any of her siblings, was the big believer in her dad's dreams and this glass castle they would one day build. But we see as Jeanette grew older, she became acutely aware of her family's challenging lifestyle. So she started to realize that, wait a minute, this is really tough. This is very difficult. This isn't like so many other kids. People don't live like this. Acutely kind of means intensely, but it's in a way that shows that you're understanding it. You've got some insight. You're perceiving. You're being perceptive. So she can really start to become aware in a way it's almost painful. Like, this is not how everybody lives. Not everybody moves around this much. And it's really, really hard. And this is why we don't have stuff to eat all the time or new things. And we keep having to move to new places. So she really started to understand this isn't working as well as it could.
Right. And just to add a couple of little synonyms to this, acutely could mean extremely, sharply, keenly. So she was really very, very much aware of her family's challenging lifestyle. Maybe not as a younger person because there weren't classmates to compare against or to hear about other people and how they live. They tended to live away out from, you know, downtown and suburbs. They were way out there, especially in the desert. So she became aware as she grew older that her family was very dysfunctional. Although Rex's dreams were fascinating, that's her dad, their disconnection from reality became increasingly apparent to her. So if you have some sort of disconnect or disconnection, you're just not, well, let's talk about how it happens if you're disconnected from the internet or your phone disconnects.
Yeah, you switch off.
There's no communication. There's a problem, you know, being attached or connected to something else. If they disconnect your gas, you no longer have gas in your apartment, or maybe your water supply is disconnected. Ooh, that would be hard too. He has a disconnection from real life, what's really happening around him. He's a big dreamer, you know, and I've been around dreamers. They can be good and bad. If they also have one foot in reality, or they're still, you know, seeing what real life's about, then you're okay. Dreamers can be fun, and they can have a wonderful influence on their kids who like to dream big as well. But I think that's how Jeanette reacted to her father
at the start. You know? Yes.
Yeah, at the start. So he was very disconnected from reality, and that became increasingly apparent to her.
Apparent means the same as clear or obvious. Like it's starting to become very obvious, even to just look at and question for a second that this is never going to happen. These dreams will never come true. It is just a fantasy. So we see living in extreme poverty. So they were very, very poor. Jeanette and her siblings learned to fend for themselves. To fend for yourself means to look out for yourself, to find what you need to get hold of it in whatever way. Nobody is really providing for you. No one's putting food out for you or getting you clothes or cleaning up after you. You're just doing all that yourself.
Yeah. It's similar to being self-reliant. You have to rely on yourself. Or we also will use that word fend to fend somebody off or fend off someone. It's a verb phrase. To mean someone's trying to hit you or come at you and you're blocking it. But here, yeah, if you fend for yourself, you're responsible for taking care of whatever your needs are. So they scavenged for food. If you scavenge for something, it means you go to a place of just trash and garbage and waste, and you look there for things that you can take and use again, maybe that you could recycle. It doesn't have to be food. It could be maybe they went to a trash area and found an old bike that other families had thrown out because it was broken a little bit. You can scavenge for things. They scavenge for food. They stole, which is not a good lesson for kids because you're teaching them dishonesty. So they stole from farms. So they'd go into other people's farms and just take some of the food that they were growing, crops, and maybe take some of the fruit off trees. And they even searched inside dumpsters to survive. Dumpsters are rectangular containers that we have, especially in the U.S. You might have them too.
Not so much in the U.K. We have a different style of garbage can, but they're big. They're sort of public use, or you'd have them in the basement or outside buildings too.
These are so big that they're not in suburbs or not in neighborhoods. They'll call up for a dumpster if it's on a construction site or they're tearing down a building. And you can just put in lots of trash. If you watch TV, New York TV shows, crime shows, they'll often have cops go into dumpsters looking for evidence.
We call them in the UK, if it's for construction, we call it a skip, S-K-I-P.
That is the
name for the ones for like broken bricks and bits of construction material.
Cool.
But yeah, they went into, and you might find dumpsters outside supermarkets or department stores, anywhere where lots of people put all their trash at once. So we also see that the previously adventurous nomadic life became burdensome. So a nomadic means they're roaming around. They're never staying in one place. They're traveling from place to place, always finding new things. But it was adventurous before, and it was a cool thing, and it was lots of fun. But then it became burdensome. It became really difficult.
Yeah.
And the constant battle for basic necessities, so food, clothes, water, toiletries, became unbearable, like always having to go, where's our next meal? Mm-hmm. When are we going to get clean? How are we going to find some soap or some shampoo or, you know, other basic needs? So these problems compelled the family. So they forced the family in the end to seek a new beginning in Rex's hometown, a poor mining community. So eventually they go, we can't keep moving around. We're going to go to one place and we're going to stay there and do what we can, at least there.
Mm-hmm. You don't know this, but Rex's hometown is in kind of a poor area of America. So, you know, he probably didn't grow up with much. So it wasn't like Rex was used to living, you know, with a lot of money, having these fancy cars and clothes. He wasn't used to that. But I still think if you're a parent, you have to make sure that your kids and your spouse, you know, have a place to live. The thing that was hard too, a lot of kids have to move around because their fathers are in the military.
Yep.
But this wasn't even, you know, that case. I don't think they had many friends because they weren't even going to school. So, because their parents thought that they could educate their kids better outside school. I don't think that's bad. I think homeschooling can be great.
It's possible.
It can be great, but you have to have the basic necessities for your family. We're going to talk more about this poor mining community and what they found there. But first, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. 我是派老师。今天讲解的是5月7号 Unit 3, The Glass Castle, A Tale of Resilience and Triumph, Day 2. 这是一个文学单元。第二天课程内容延续前一天课程介绍美国记者的回忆录。今天的重点在于小孩子渐渐成长之后，了解到爸爸的梦想其实不切实际，其实只是幻想。最终家庭陷入经济困境，不得不回到爸爸的家乡定居。唯一的好处是孩子终于可以稳定的上学，受教育，不会再居无定所了。直到有一天，小孩都一一的离开父亲的故乡，到纽约去追求自己理想的生活。所谓的玻璃城堡也没有实现的那一天。好，我们一起来看学习重点吧。请同学看到第一段第一个句子逗点之后的主要子句。She became acutely aware. 好，这里 acutely 是副词，在修饰后面的 aware of。那这个句子是什么意思呢？就是表示其实啊，主人翁随着年纪慢慢的增长，越来越清楚，而且是相当清楚，自己家庭的生活方式是有相当大的挑战的。好，那请同学特别注意的，像这个 be acutely aware of， 那是一个相当常见的这种词语搭配 be acutely aware of。所以老师想要给大家另外一个例子，比方说 after the accident， Sarah became acutely aware of the fragility of life。causing her to cherish every moment with her loved ones. Sarah 在那场事故之后，对于生命的脆弱变得非常有感，因而更加珍惜和家人相处的每一刻。再来，请同学看到第二个句子。第二个句子呢，依然告诉我们，他的爸爸 Rex 所怀有的梦想其实比较像是幻想。Their disconnection from reality， 因为这些幻想呢是怎样？和现实脱节的。再来，请同学看到第三个句子，最后面这个动词片语，就是这些小孩子呢，必须要学着 fend for themselves。fend for themselves 就是自食其力的意思。在艰苦的环境当中，这些孩子呢，要自食其力把自己照顾好。那在这个段落接下来的句子，就会介绍这些孩子是怎么样自食其力的。请看到第四个句子 They scavenged for food. Scavenged 是什么意思呢？其实啊，就是在一些别人不要的东西里面去翻找食物。好，那再来请同学看到第五个句子。第五个句子其实写得相当好，你可以看得到 两种情况的鲜明对比。因为以前孩子会觉得爸爸给了他们梦想，他们的生活是 adventurous nomadic life， 所以是像游牧民族般充满冒险的生活， adventurous nomadic life。 可是实际上怎么样呢？变成好像每天都在战斗，要去找自己的生活基本所需， the constant battle for basic necessities。 再来，请同学看到第六个句子，特别注意到的是主要动词的部分， These problems compel the family to seek a new beginning。 所以这些问题逼的这个家庭不得不怎么样， compel the family to seek a new beginning， 所以他们全家最后要回到爸爸的家乡。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone. So the Walls family have moved back to Rex's hometown, this poor mining community. And in the town's poorest area, so the poorest area of the poor town, Rex purchased a small, poorly constructed house with three rooms. I'm going to point out that the third poor, because we had poor mining community, poorest area, and those are both related to money. But
yes,
poorly constructed, that poorly means badly.So do be careful here that there are multiple meanings to words in English,
and
they are
being
used in different ways. But it's badly constructed with just three rooms, no basic plumbing, so that's no pipes going into bathrooms or toilets or sinks.
No water, nor running water.
Right, you'd have to go and get a bucket and just use that. And a leaking roof, so when it rains, the water comes through.
Yeah.
And soon after settling in, he chose a nearby site to build the glass castle. So they're going to at least attempt it.
So instead of spending time fixing up the house that they live in, he instead goes and says, oh, we're going to build a glass castle, his fantasy house, right? So she's still interested in the glass castle. Jeanette and her younger brother, Brian, they thought, well, we're going to work with Dad. We're going to dig the foundation. The foundation is the very basic part of a house where you pour concrete.And it needs to be very settled and firm before you start building up the walls, right? So they were digging the foundation in the dirt. Can you imagine these young kids? However, one day, unable to pay for waste removal, which means you have to pay a small fee to have your trash taken away, most of it is covered by our taxes, city taxes, at least in the state. So I'm not sure. I'm sure he wasn't paying any taxes.
Right.
Knowing him, I mean, they were stealing food. He wasn't able to pay for the waste removal, so Rex told his kids who had spent all that time and all that heart digging the foundation for their new glass castle, he said, hey, kids, just go put our garbage in that pit you've been digging.
And that's what dispose of means, to throw something away, to get rid of something.
Yeah, can you imagine?
It would be very
Dad,
heartbreaking.
Dad, that's our glass castle! Cute.
And over time, the glass castle became a silent, unrealized dream. If something is unrealized, it's never going to come true. It's like if you promise yourself, I'm going to do this one day, and it never happens, then you go, okay, that's an unrealized dream. It was an unrealized hope. And it's natural to have a few.
Everyone has them.
But you try and make a few if you can.
Yeah, and sometimes your dreams have to change a little based on life circumstances. My unrealized dream was I wanted so much to play the lead in Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
But you know, the time passed, and I will never do that in this life. So, you know, it's not bad to have dreams. I have different dreams now.Once you start setting dreams, you'll realize, you know, sometimes things change and life happens. So despite this disappointment, of course they're disappointed because their dad had built up their hopes they'd have this wonderful glass castle. And then he turns around and says, oh, put our trash out there, kids. So it kind of crushed their dream. Despite this disappointment, disappointment is a feeling you have when something you really yearned for or hoped for or wantedoesn't happen, and we all have disappointments in life. Disappointment is the noun. You can disappoint someone else, but you are disappointed as an adjective, as a person. So They had a new hope that arose. What was that?
If something arises, it just comes up. It kind of appears, usually in a slightly surprising, slightly unexpected way. Mm-hmm. So it appeared, this new hope appeared as the family's final settlement, meaning they've stopped moving, in Rex's hometown, enabled Jeanette and her siblings to consistently attend school.
Mm.
So now they're in one place and they're not moving around every couple of weeks. They can go to school and not just go to school, but consistently. So go every day, go at the same time, stay in the same class, meet and learn with the same teachers and fellow students, which is really important because if you keep moving around, then every time you're just getting to know people, the teachers aren't sure what you need. So you do need consistency. That's the noun form of this adverb here. Consistently is the adverb form of consistent. Consistency is the noun. So yeah, it's good to have that kind of consistency and go to the same school at the same times with the same people. And that's important for kids, any kind of that stability and routine. They do need that to help them organize their own lives and thoughts and figure out who they are.
Yeah, I was just going to say, no one needs consistency more than kids. So if you're being, if your life growing up is very chaotic, it's hard for them as adults. They will have to deal with other issues later on. But this is great. I'm curious, just as, you know, someone who hasn't read the book yet, and I want to, why the parents finally stayed there. I don't know. Maybe by the time they started going to school, the kids were old enough to say, hey, we have friends. We don't want to keep picking
maybe,
up and going.
Maybe they just lost the car. It's like sold the car, couldn't go anywhere else.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. So Jeanette became editor of the school newspaper. So that's a big position when you're in high school to be the editor of the school paper. And it usually, if you have some sort of position on a school newspaper, typically you end up going in that direction as an adult for mm-hmm. a career. So she was the editor, and it exposed her, meaning it gave her a look at things she hadn't seen before. It exposed her to diverse, various types of articles and news topics, which helped her develop views independent from her parents or independent of her parents' biased ideologies. Kids, you know, once they're in school, especially when they're teenagers, they typically believe the opposite of what their parents believe.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're a teenager, you're a little rebellious. But it gave her a chance just to see that there are other ways to live out there, I think, other ways to think.
Mm. Your ideology is your beliefs, really. It's the things that you really hold firm to. They're your kind of core principles mm-hmm. that you would then base a lot of your decisions around, you know, whether that's a side of the political beliefs or the beliefs in terms of how you should act around others, what you think about what you want from your
morality.
Life. It could be religion, yeah, morality and ethics. Those are your ideologies. And ideologies are different in different countries mm-hmm. and they're different for the people in those countries based on their upbringings and their experiences. But it's just the thing that informs a lot of your decisions and your beliefs and how you try to live your life. And we're saying her parents are biased. So they're very strongly in favor of one thing against another thing. So her parents were like very anti-capitalist. They were very free-spirited. That was biased against the sort of system. But there is a reason for the system.
Yeah, we have systems because usually they help people become more successful.
Mm.
And they bring more order to society instead of having just chaos. But yeah, if you're biased, it usually means you, before you even know anything about something, you're prejudiced against it or for it. So their parents didn't like capitalism. I can't say they were for socialism or communism either. They just didn't want to be pinned down to anything. I think they just wanted to, you know, as we say, be free spirits. But when you have children, you can't. It's at some point in your life you have to decide you need to grow up. Well, when she entered her teens, Jeanette saw that staying with her parents was an obstacle to her future. An obstacle is just some sort of barrier or hindrance that she had to get over or overcome. And she thought, well, if I stay, of course she loves her folks, right? She mm-hmm. loves her parents. But she knew that staying with them wasn't going to bring a lot of success for her future.
So she also realized that all her father's promises would remain a fantasy. A fantasy is something unreal. It's a dream. It's a piece of imagination. When we talk about fantasy as a genre of writing, I mean, that generally means there's going to be magic, wizards, dragons, monsters, that kind of story. Things that you don't see and experience in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And we never will. Unlike science fiction, which could come true one day, fantasy is stuff that could never, will never happen and occur.
In some of the science fiction books that I read growing up, we already have some of those inventions.
Past that, yeah.
I know, it's crazy.
But a fantasy in this sense means it's a dream. It's something that will never happen. It's just something people talk about, but it will never come true.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows that they will never have this glass castle. They're never going to complete it and live this life of happiness. He'll never build that gold finding, digging machine invention. So they just decide, okay, that's it. We can't keep living this life. Determined to pursue their own lives, she and her siblings decide to leave. Like, when we're old enough, when we've got, you know, get into college, if we can find a way out, we will leave.
Yeah. They needed to be old enough to work outside the home, right? So her oldest sister's Lori, she went first and then Jeanette followed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brian came after that. Sadly, the youngest sister was more badly harmed, I would say, by her parents.
Okay.
Her parents' chaotic upbringing than any of the rest of them. But yeah, they all went to New York. It's interesting they go to a hard city to live in. New York's not easy to live in.
But I suppose there are always going to be even just opportunities to work, even if it's in a sort of cleaning or...
If you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to work, you can get a job. That's my opinion, yeah.
So that brings us to the end of the second part of the article. We're now going to hand over to our Chinese teacher one more time before we come back to wrap up this day.
再来请同学看到第二段咯。第二段这边请看到第二个句子。Soon after settling in, he chose a nearby site to build the glass castle. 好，所以爸爸还是想要实现自己的梦想，所以搬进了这个盖得不怎么样的房子以后，所以 settling in 那当然就是指在这个家里面安顿下来之后，爸爸选了附近有一个块地啊，一个地方 a nearby site 要盖他的所谓玻璃城堡。好，再来请看到第四个句子。要提醒同学的是主要子句的这个部分 Rex told the children to dispose of 好请把 dispose of 画起来中文 dispose of 我们会翻成丢弃但是请注意 dispose 是一个不及物动词如果后面要加受词请不要忘记了这个 of 请同学一定要记得再来请同学呢看到第三段的第一个句子那回到了家乡之后，这是爸爸的家乡，爸爸的理想、梦想还是没有实现。不过啊，倒是有一件事是值得这些孩子庆幸的。A new hope arose, 因为这些孩子终于可以稳定的求学了。好，那后面我们就可以看得到这些孩子怎么样呢？They could consistently attend school.They could consistently attend school. 好，这里 consistently 意思就是不需要再有一搭没一搭的上课，可以固定的、很稳定的去上课。再来，请同学看到第三段第三个句子。那孩子慢慢的长大，我们的主人翁进入了十几岁，十几岁通常是比较叛逆的年纪。那怎么样呢？他会认为，如果继续跟爸爸妈妈住的话，对于自己的未来是个障碍，所以 staying with her parents became an obstacle to her future. 所以从他来看，他会觉得这件事情会成为他未来的障碍。请同学把这个 to 这个介系词画起来。好，那再来，我们看到最后一个句子 ，They moved to New York one by one. 这些兄弟姐妹一一的呢都搬到纽约了。后面是分词构句。Leaving behind the never-to-be-completed glass castle. 结果爸爸的理想也就是玻璃城堡那从来都没有完成。这边前面呢其实也是一个复合形容词。那必须要加上 ed, 因为我们说 glass castle 是等着被人去完成去完工的。那 另外呢，请同学记得哦，不定词通常带有还没有完成的意味。好，以上就是我们对于第二天课程所做的中文讲解，谢谢大家。
So that brings us to the end of the memoir. We are going to talk a bit more about this. We're going to talk about the real person behind the story. We're going to talk about how and why she wrote it and stuff in day three. But for day two, that's all we have time for. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
I'm Stephanie.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye-bye.